Hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I'm Fergus, I'm your host. Today, it's Schooners Hilsey, Danish Schooner, and we got Del from Posh Schooners. We're going to look back at the Arsenal-Luton game. We'll probably look ahead to the Arsenal fixture away to Brighton. Plus, we'll do our roundup of game week 31, which includes games against Crystal Palace and Manchester City, Villa, Brentford, Everton, Burnley, Fulham, Newcastle, Luton, Bournemouth, Wolverhampton, West Ham, Manchester United, Liverpool, Sheffield, Chelsea and Tottenham, Nottingham Forest. Enjoy the show.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Hello, boys. I've literally just finished work. I'm knackered. I'm on the water because my voice is a little bit croaky from last night. It was a late night as well. It was midnight by the time I got home. Trevor, there was talk about no atmosphere in the stadium. I know it was different, but there was an atmosphere, wasn't there?
Of course there was. Listen, don't listen to them idiots. Watch Cundy and O'Hara, Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, talking crap on TalkSport. The atmosphere was all right. Look, we were playing a team that straight away after 5 minutes, it was clearly obvious that Arsenal were going to win the game, right? They offered nothing. I've never seen in all my memory such a vast difference in standard between maybe the bottom four or five in the Premier League and the top four or five in the Premier League. There's a huge gulf. You could see it straight away within 5 minutes last night. And the fans just did what they had to do. They're not going to be tearing the ceilings down when there's that kind of football being played. And if I'm blatantly honest, Fergus, second half, I nearly fell asleep. I was bored. I was bored at the game last night. But a win's a win. We've done it. We move on. And I repeat, as I just said, Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, also known as O'Hara and Cundy, don't listen to them. They talk crap. They're after likes. We don't like them.
Please don't adjust your sets. Dell is Dell. It's not Jamie O'Hara down below, Trevor. Just to clarify that, okay? Just to give you an idea of the flavour of the atmosphere on the concourse, Block 5 was lively again. It was a bit with Capo Dan, myself and a few of the others. So, no, contrary to what TalkSport were saying, the atmosphere is there. It is, as we've said many a time, difficult to transfer that atmosphere on the concourse out onto the terrace or seating area itself, because we come from a few different blocks together. But I also think TV manipulate the sound a little bit as well.
Yeah, no, agreed. And the first thing I said to you guys last night, because unfortunately I couldn't make the game, due to trains home. The first thing I said to you guys in the chat was, how was the atmosphere? Because it did seem flat on TV. It seemed very, very flat, very, very quiet. But like you say, that can be manipulated. Being there 9 times out of 10 in Block 5-6, I know it's not like that in the concourse in particular. But on the stands last night, it did seem very, very quiet on the TV. But as you say, it can never really be replicated as to what it's like when you're actually there.
No, it's not. And I like your cap, Alex. You can see that Dan's got a new cap. Let's see if we can bring it up and pause it 1 second. So he's got this one with the North Bank logo on it and Block 5 on the side. So I'll just mute it a second and you can see that hat there. It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. How can you get it?
There's a guy on Twitter. If you contact Capo Dan on Twitter, he can put you in touch with Huss and he makes them. I don't know how you get them. So
God bless you, Marion. God bless you. Thank you very much.
we just have to, Marion, all we have to do is check ourselves to make sure it is Dell every time, because, you know, we do keep on thinking that we've got Guns and Yellow Ribbons version of Jamie O'Hara. I've got rid of the picture. Jesus Christ.
Separated birth, mate. Del O'Hara. Sort of rings a bell, doesn't it? Del O'Hara, yeah.
not really, mate. Not really. Can't see it.
Del, can you play football?
Depends. not as much as I used to, but yeah. As I've got older, I've gone from being further up the top pitch to like further down at the back now. And now I sit on the bench most of the time, so I'm quite happy with that.
So yeah, you are a twin. You are O'Hara, mate. Yeah. Listen, Arsenal had conceded just 4 goals in 9 league games leading into this game. We had won 9 of our past 10 Premier League fixtures. The last fixture that we didn't win was the draw at Manchester City, which, in my view, was a defensive masterpiece. And we were up against Luton, who had scored in 18 of the past Premier League games, which is the current longest scoring streak in the division. So, you know, whilst we thought Luton, they're relegation fodder for sure. But there were no mugs. Alex, lineup, there was a change in the lineup. There was 5 changes in the lineup. We had Partey, Zinny, Tommy and Nelson, along with Smith Rowe, all starting in place of Saka and Rice and I can't remember the other players, but the lineup was Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko instead of Kivior, Partey instead of Jorginho, Smith Rowe instead of
Rice,
yes. Odegaard, Nelson, Trossard, and Havertz. How did you feel about? You were very adamant that you wanted rotation in this game. Trevor and Dan were less rotation. Were you happy?
Yeah, I think we spoke quite a lot about it on the last podcast. And I said I wanted him to rotate some of our key players like Saka, who has looked like he needed a rest. And I think he got a deserved rest against Luton. I was more surprised seeing that he rotated the likes of Rice. I thought he was going to start the game for sure. But I mean, looking back on it now, I think we're all quite happy that we managed to rest some of our players and still get a 2-0 comfortable win. But I was, to be honest, I was surprised to see that many rotations going into the game. I thought he'd do like three rotations, bringing in Tomiyasu maybe instead of Tommy or Zinchenko instead of Kivior, and then Partey for Jorginho. But I was surprised to see that many changes, 5 changes. But I mean, good to see Smith Rowe play full 90 minutes. I think he did well in the game. So it's all about keeping some of our fringe players fresh and ready to make an impact throughout this last 9-10 games of the season.
Yeah, well, we've got 13 games to the Champions League final, so you know we need to rotate. Trevor, how did you feel about the rotation and the amount of rotation? Because you weren't as keen as Alex was.
No, I was. I was a bit wary when I saw them all. Sat there before the game, thinking, "Oh, I hope he's done the right thing." But as I said before, I do trust our manager. It turns out he was right and I was wrong, and so was Alex. So I'm not going to praise Alex too much because he does me head in. But yeah, he was right. I think Saka was injured, so Saka had to be out, and I was glad to see that. I was quite surprised he took both Rice and Jorginho out. I thought he'd leave one of them in, one of the two, and bring Partey in, but he didn't. He took them both out. And it turned out, in fairness, I thought that Smith Rowe in particular and Nelson had really decent games, you know. You've got to remember, I'm not putting a downer on it, you've got to remember the standard of the opposition was very poor. I just spoke about that, so I'm not going to bore you with it. But I thought Smith Rowe especially was right on it from the off. From the very first, he was on the ball, seemed to have a bit more energy in his game, and but I was very happy with all of them, very happy with everybody last night, to be honest, just as long as I stayed awake in the second half to watch it.
Del, just finally on the lineups, how did you think that those players performed? Personally, I thought Smith Rowe left everything on the pitch. He ran his heart out and he got his full 90 minutes. Zinchenko at times had a couple of moments, as Zinchenko generally has in every game. Partey, for me, a little heavy-legged. Tomiyasu was excellent. And Nelson, I don't know, he top ran around.
I agree. I mean, I said that about Nelson yesterday. Dan was over mine watching the game, and it was kind of like a Nelson was just more of a meh performance. Didn't really do much right, but didn't really do much wrong. I mean, ultimately, he was in the right place to kind of force the second goal, so you got him credit for that. Partey, I agree with the rotation. I think if it was ever a game to do it, that was definitely it. I expected a big, heavy scoreline, and I think with our first 11, we probably do win that game. In fact, no, we do win that game more convincingly, because as Trev said, we kind of stepped off a little in the second half. But the positive for me is we still won at a canter without getting out of second gear. I don't think we really got going, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, Zinchenko had a few errors in him, but when doesn't he?
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
You know what? I just want to know who the parody account has set up as Kevin Nolan.
Probably Dan.
Yeah, it's going to be. For anybody on audio.
Sorry, Dal. I had to put that straight up, mate. That was hilarious.
Oh, mate, no. I love that. But, I think Partey in particular probably needed game time, just because the kind of cameos he has had since he's been back, I do think he's looked a bit off the pace. The more game time he got in that game there. Because where else do you rest them? Where else do you give him game time in reality? We're away at Brighton next, which we speak about. Then we're at the Champions League. Then we've got Villa. I mean, there's not really many games coming up where you can give him the game time you want to give them. So I think that was the perfect time to give him game time. So, yeah, more than happy.
Yeah. We'll get to Hente's comment shortly, because we'll talk about the subs as they come on. 9 games left in the season. At this point last season, Trevor's where the wheels started falling off. We're 24 minutes in. Smith Rowe supplies a lovely ball to Odegaard. And then Odegaard onto Havertz. Back to Odegaard, 1-0. Great goal, well worked. Created, generated by Smith Rowe, hard work in that midfield, doing the job that Rice has to do, you know, trying to break up the play and supply the ball.
Yeah, he was so good. His effort levels were high. I feel a bit sorry for Smith Rowe, because, I mean, I don't know if anybody would agree with me, but my view is that he's very similar to Odegaard, and that's probably why he's not getting so much game time. He likes to play in that space that Odegaard feels so superbly, and But he took his chance last night. I felt that he was dropping a bit deeper and swapping with Odegaard now and again, and it worked really well. I mean, you wouldn't be worried about playing Smith Rowe against better opposition. Well, I wouldn't be anyway, because his effort levels were good. He covered back well. I loved the way that all three of our Partey, Smith Rowe, and Odegaard were the ones that kept coming short to take the short to receive the short goal kicks last night and lay it off at the angle. And their energy levels to keep going doing that was superb. But back to Smith Rowe, he played really well from the very start. From the very start, you could see he was up for it. And he just ran around Luton as he wished, really.
He was running around Luton with his singing out, yeah. I now know who the parody account is. Magic Mike. Mike, as always, his humour is great. At 8 o'clock tonight, if you go up to Highbury Squad, you can see from Highbury to the Grove. He's got Smudger on, I think, on that one. So we should be finished, and then people can go over there and watch that. So there was several close calls, Ben White, Partey, Havertz, but Luton hung on. And under the 44th minute, again, for me, it looked more like a Nelson goal. Yes, you can see that it does turn out to be an own goal for Hashioka. I think I've got that one right. The water might be helping.
Well done. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I need to stick to water more often, don't I? But again, another fantastic run, Alex, from Smith Rowe.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was superb. And the way he can sort of explode from 0 to 100 was what we needed in that game. And as you mentioned before, his pressing was really, really good as well. And I think something that Partey did very well was his progressive passing. I saw an interesting stat as well. He found Odegaard 11 times yesterday in the game. Meanwhile, the last time Rice played, he found Odegaard 5 times. And the last time Jorginho played, he found him 4 times. So he's really good on the ball, and I think if he can improve his off the ball work and get up to tempo, he can be a real asset for the rest of the season. But yeah, on the goal again, well done Smith Rowe, and a good run into the box from Reece Nelson. I think I agree with Dale. He didn't have his best game, didn't make the most impact, but he certainly made an impact for the second goal. Yeah, it was what we needed before the half time, because that sort of killed the game off for me, the second goal.
Yeah, it eased the nerves as well, and the crowd calmed. Crowd calmed so much that Trevor fell asleep. The second half, Trevor, once you've had your sip of tea or whatever, very quiet affair. The only highlight to talk about in the second half really was the rotation of the team again, in the sense of players. Eddie, Rice, Tommy, Martinelli all came on for Havertz, Partey, Zinni and Nelson. Rice, that was the first time, as if he was available. I think he was out one game because of injury, but it's the first game he didn't start when available this season. How Hente made a comment on here where I talked about Nelson running around, and he said that he preferred Nelson running around more than he did Eddie Nketiah. We talked briefly before we came online. His performance, does he look like he's checked out?
Who, Eddie?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got it written down here to talk about, actually, Ferg. It's interesting that other people have noticed it. I felt that Havertz done his thing again last night, put that completely different context on a game from our team, you know, a different outlook from the Arsenal. And the contrast for when Havertz went off and Eddie came on for me was huge because, and I'm not having to go at Eddie here. What the point I'm making is it's two completely different games. Eddie wants to run around and try and run onto the through ball, much like most of our other front and midfield players do. They're very good with the ball, moving into space. Whereas Havertz gives us, as we've seen recently, that different option, that target man, that person that can hold the ball up, and lay it off. And for me, when Havertz went off last night and then Nketiah came on, we looked nowhere near the side. I mean, we'd gone to sleep second half anyway, but we looked nowhere near the side. It just showed me how important player Havertz has become for us at the Arsenal, what he does for us. And we all, I'm not saying everyone, but I was one of his doubters. And I said when he first came, I want to see more from him. I know there's a better player in Havertz. He'd been Chelsea'd, hadn't he? You know, he'd been Chelsea'd. But he's come out of that shell now and he's playing really well. And I enjoy watching him play up front. I think he's got to be our number nine for the rest of the season.
By the way, he's on more goals and assists now than he's ever been in a season for Chelsea. So
well, there you go. Do you know what, Fink? Do you know what, Ferg? You just mentioned a player just now, right? Can I change the subject for a second so I don't forget?
Yeah.
That Hoshioka, right? Their number 27 last night. And this is serious crap here, right? For me, he absolutely moved the goalposts of players cheating last night, right? Absolutely different perspective. I'd never seen it before. He went down rolling on the floor injured and the referee caught him, right?
I remember, yeah.
Right? And then so he gets back up and limps about 10 foot and crashes to the floor, waving his hands in the air. And I said to Steve next to me, I said, he's injured. He's proper injured. They don't get up and go down like that. And the ref stopped the game and Stoner Crows 2 minutes later, he's up and running around like a lunatic. And these players have got to be very careful, right? Because next week, that referee's going to remember that. It's no good these players saying, oh, the ref should have stopped the game. There was a serious injury. How's the ref meant to know when you've got clowns like that doing things like that? It's really dangerous. First time I've seen it last night, Ferg. Very dangerous.
I think the counter to that is, you know, they've implemented the thing where the players, they have to sit out for 30 seconds after going down and receiving treatment. So they actually played with 9 men because they had 2 players who had treatment after that Hashioka guy went down. So they actually played with 9 men for like 30 seconds. So hopefully
when it's enforced. when that's when enforced, it's because there's so many times they don't enforce that rule where it's the same as when a player is supposed to, if they get stubbed off and at the far side of the pitch, they're supposed to walk off at that side of the pitch, but they don't. They quite often walk across the pitch, and quite often you see players get booked for it.
I've only seen it twice, I think, this season since the rule's been put in. The same as the time that Tomiyasu got a card at yellow card for time wasting, taking a throw in.
They shift the focus, away. Don't they?
Some weekends it's one thing, and then
whilst we're on this subject of like bookings and stuff, there's a comment. I've seen a couple of comments from Nobby and William in the comments. And I've got to say, that's one thing that I spoke about yesterday. I've noticed Havertz picks up quite a few silly little bookings. And one thing I don't like, what's creeping into his game, is there's two or three instances in the last three, 4 weeks when he's diving, blatantly diving, not even hiding the fact. That one last night was silly. Absolutely silly. The board was already getting prepared as well. So the chances are he probably knew he was going off. Yeah. So there was no need for that.
He's getting close to a suspension as well.
Exactly that. I think he's
one card away.
Absolutely agree, Gal. You're absolutely right. But I've got to just say again, what that Hashioka done last night, a player could be down seriously injured and the ref ain't going to stop the game.
I wholeheartedly agree. The one thing I will say is, for those who watch La Liga, that's quite commonplace in La Liga. People go down all the time, like they've been shot, like they're hurt, like they go down, like they've really, really hurt themselves. And you do get convinced by it, like they turn into actors for a minute and they come back.
He should only stop it when it's a head injury, shouldn't he, the ref?
Exactly. But the problem is, I see where Trev's coming from, because they can only stop for a head injury. But when you genuinely believe someone's that injured, either the opposition are encouraged to put the ball out of play. And this is one of the reasons why I think when there is a genuine injury, players don't put the ball out of play, because there's so much play acting goes on. Why would you? Why would you take that chance giving them the ball back when you've got attack?
It was even mentioned on Match of the Day last night that the Luton players didn't even put the ball out. Listen, it was two goals, a clean sheet, another clean sheet for us. Helps with the goal difference. We're now back top of the league. I know Liverpool is on behind me. It's going to be starting shortly behind me. Liverpool have this game in hand against Sheffield, which you'd expect them to get 3 points, but you never know. It's the Premier League. Anything can happen. We're on plus 48 goals. Goal difference is going to make a huge difference. Hopefully, Liverpool don't get a dent into that in their game tonight. We're not going to go talking about that one too much, because we're going to talk about the weekend's games. The first of the weekend's games that we'll feature and focus on is our game, the 5:30 kickoff down at the Amex Stadium. Against Brighton, our previous record is 5 wins. The previous record is 5 wins each and 3 draws out of 13 meetings. We won 2-0 in our home fixture. And the last time we won at the Amex, it was 4-2 to us. Brighton's form at the moment is a bit hit and miss, a draw, loss, draw, win, loss, draw. And the Arsenal is all the W's except for that City game. So, we got win, draw, win, 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 win.
I've done my homework on this game, Fergler. I've done all my homework on this Arsenal.
Oh, right. All right. So I'll come to you. So what's your thoughts on this game? And what are you doing with the lineups, in the sense of, are you having as much rotation as we had last night?
No, is the honest answer. Well, I think you do rotate. You rotate back to what it was. I think you go back to our strongest 11, truth be told. I think the game last night was used to give those players much needed game time, as I say. I've had a look at some stats on this game today. The 4-2 game when we beat them in the same fixture last season, Trossard actually played in the middle for Brighton. So it's the first time Trossard's going to be playing in a game going back there. So looking forward to the reception.
Interesting to see the reception. Yeah,
exactly. And truth be told, he was very, very good for them. He played the middle for them last time we played them. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. And the reason I say that is Brighton have had a taste of European football this year. Now, I was speaking to one of my clients at work today who's a Brighton fan. And he just said, look, I've got a bug for it now. He cancelled like wedding receptions. He cancelled family dues. Everything just to go to those away games, because he doesn't know when he's going to do it again. And he absolutely loved it. So one thing I do think there'll be is goals. I think there'll be goals, because there's always goals in this fixture. Now, in the last 10 games, Brighton have won more than what we've won. In the last 10 games, Brighton have won 5, we've won 4 with a draw in there. And the goals are pretty much even as well. But we've scored 13, they've scored 12. Which averages 2.6 goals a game. So there's one for you over 2.5, those who like a gamble. So I do think there'll be goals in it. I really do. But that being said, I think they're going to come to us. They've got one win in the last five league games. And that was only 1-0 against a very poor Forest side at the time. So, but I think the one thing going for them is they are fighting for European football still. And if Liverpool win the Europa League and Villa go in and win the Europa Conference League, then positions drop down. So every point at this stage of the season matters. It really does. Villa have got some tough games coming up. So Brighton have got a chance to steal a march here. So I don't think they'll roll over for us. I really don't. But I do think we've got enough to beat them.
Alex, your thoughts on this and lineups? For example, would you be playing Partey or would you be playing Jorginho? Or what way are you doing with the lineups? And what are you expecting prediction-wise? I'll come back to you on your prediction afterwards, Del.
Yeah, I expect us to go back to sort of the lineup we played against City, with Kivior dropping back in and Jorginho, Rice, Odegaard in midfield. And then hopefully Saka gets fit and ready for the game. We didn't hear too much from Arteta about his fitness, but he's going to have a press conference tomorrow, so we might know more there. But then, of course, Havertz up top, and then either Jesus, Trossard, Martinelli, depending on the fitness levels of them. But yeah, I think Brighton, the way they play sort of fits us quite good, because they like to play a high line as well. And they don't really compromise on the way they play depending on the opposition. They stick to their principles. So I think there could be quite a lot of goals as well. But I mean, we've been defensively very, very good in this 2024. Only 4 goals conceded. So as long as we stay compact and don't concede too many chances, I'm quite confident we can get a result at Brighton like we did last season.
What's your prediction for that one?
Prediction? I'm going to go for a 3-1 away win to the Arsenal.
Okay. Trevor, Alex is on a yellow card. Well, it's probably a blue or an orange card at this point with the Brighton fixtures.
Last chance.
Last chance. He's been to a few Brighton games with us and we haven't seen 3 points. Are we going to see 3 points at the weekend?
Yeah, of course I think we're going to get 3 points, Fergus. We all should have, us Arsenal fans. Fergus, I've just got to say to Annabelle, Annabelle, I got the last tube before the tube broke last night. Got very lucky, legged it after the game to the tube station. Got the very last tube that ran for a while, and I got back home about 2 hours earlier than you did, Annabelle. So looks like you had a horrendous journey. Back to the game. Yeah, I always worry about Brighton, because you know Brighton have got a performance in them, especially down there at home. They've got a fine manager who organises them really well. But I think that, obviously, look at the quality we've got. We've got to go back to the same starting lineup as we had against City, or just bring Martinelli in if he's fit. Havertz is key up front. And as long as our back four are fit, I'd like to see Kivior come back in, if I'm honest. I don't think Kivior's done enough to be dropped. Zinchenko did well last night, but he did well playing really in a midfield role against a side that weren't going to threaten us. So that the threat will be different come the weekend. So I'd like to see the back four have Kivior back in, midfield of Rice and Jorginho again, and then the front line just bring in Martinelli. That'll do for me nicely. Hopefully Saka's fit. And do you know what? I agree with the young lad. I think we're going to win 3-1 at Brighton, Ferg. I genuinely do. But I've put about 20 Arsenal fans, I've clued them all up today. And if we do get beat, it's all Alex's fault and we're chasing him out of Brighton, never letting him back again.
Yeah, definitely. Del, I didn't take your prediction on that game. What are you going for?
Well, firstly, if we do drop points, I'm taking Alex's ticket at Brighton next year. So I'm putting my name in the queue for that now. So there we go. But I'm going to complete the hat-trick, guys, because I've got it written down here. I'm going 3-1 to the Arsenal as well. And I'm going to narrow it down to put Leo as a goal scorer as well. I do think he will score tomorrow and I'd like to see him start. I really do. I think it's a lot easier to start in a game like this where there's potential hostility in the crowd than to come on as a substitute where the focus is all on you. So I'd like to start Trossard, but I agree with the guys. I'm going for a 3-1 Arsenal win.
I almost made it a quadruple 3-1, but I changed my mind when I typed up this. And I went for 3-0 because we've had 13 clean sheets so far, and I can see us keeping another clean sheet. David Raya is definitely secure in that goal. He's a key part to our attack as well as our defence. And with Saliba and Gabriel, Ben White and whoever at left back, maybe less so with Zinny sometimes defensively, but there's cover there for him. I can't see us conceding a goal. I can see there's some predictions in the chat, and you got Magic Mike from the Gooner podcast going for a Desmond 2-2. But he does that all the time. It's a bit of psychological stuff. The last time we met up with Mike, we were at West Ham, and he went for 2-2, and we know 6-0. What happened at West Ham away. It was 6-0. The next game that we'll look at, let's have a look over here. So
on Raya, I just want quickly, I saw a stat today just about how good he's been. And he's kept 11 clean sheets now, and that's at least 3 more than the next best goalkeeper. And he's also missed the four opening games as well as the 2 games against Brentford. So he's clear of any goalkeeper right now in the Premier League.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Brilliant.
Yes,
Ferg, I'm loving these comments with the predictions in, mate. We've got everyone out there. We've got over 200 people watching us, you know, very humbled by the amount of people watching. But if put your predictions in the comment section, it's really interesting to look at. Right, I'm going to shut up now. I'm not going to butt in anymore because Fergus will have a go at me. So
It's fine. Palace versus Manchester City. Palace have only won 4 on 4 occasions against City, but they've had 7 draws. The last meeting was 2-2 at City, and that was in March last year. The form for Palace is not great. Loss, loss, draw, draw, loss. They're getting sucked into that sort of danger zone of relegation. Man City is draw 1, draw, draw 1. I have a prediction of 3-1 to City. I don't know, Alex. I'll come to you first on this one. Where do you see any hope for City, for Palace?
Yeah, I think the hope is, I think they're going to stay up in the Premier League. I think they're quite solid and going to finish comfortably above the line. But in this game, I find it difficult to see how they can get a result against City. We saw how well they played, unfortunately, yesterday against Villa, even without De Bruyne and Haaland. With Foden scoring a hat-trick. So I agree. I find it difficult to see how they
would get in. Is that world-class Foden that couldn't stay on the pitch for 60 minutes against the mighty Arsenal? Just checking.
Not world-class, but he was good yesterday.
He was good.
He's on the same goal and assist tally as Saka now. So, I mean, both of them are having such a good season. I agree with your prediction. I think City will win 3-1 as well. But prayers that Palace managed to back something, hopefully.
Trevor, you know, world class, not really, but, you know, he's doing all right against that lower opposition, isn't he, that Foden guy. What are you going for on this, and what's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I'm really pleased you boys mentioned Foden, because it is something that us Arsenal fans should look at and think, well, because he was withdrawn against us because he was having absolutely no impact on our defence. It's a massive statement for the strength of our team, and in particular the strength of our defence, that a player of that calibre, who I rate very highly, didn't get a look in, and it was in the end was taken off the field. City Palace, we've got to look at it. We've got to look at it logically, haven't we? City, I think, are going to be too strong for Palace. And I think that City are probably going to win at least 2-0. I've gone 2-0 to City, but let's hope that it works out the other way around. But I can't see City losing that, Ferg.
No, I can't. So you're going, what score, Trev? Sorry?
I'm only going 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0 for Man City.
Okay. And Del, your thoughts on this? Haaland didn't play. Rodri didn't play yesterday. And yet again, they still won 4-1.
Haaland was dropped because he was crap. Because he's a championship level striker.
I was going to go for a 3-1, but I can't be doing that now because I don't want to follow through again. So ask me for the first prediction. But So in relation to the game, I don't know. I think Palace have only got one hope, and that is if Eze's fit. I don't know if anyone knows he's fit. I don't think they've got any chance of going down purely because there's three teams or four teams in that league significantly worse than what they are. Two should be confirmed down the next couple of weeks. But it'd be interesting to see, actually, because I think if I remember correctly, didn't City fail with a bid for Eze last summer? I think they bid 60 million and failed for him. Mm. So it'll be interesting because he's probably got a point to prove personally. So, yeah, it might be his audition for a City move. Who knows? But I'm going to change my prediction. I'm going to say City to score three. And I was going to say Palace to score one, but I'm now going to say Palace to score zero. So I'm going for a 3-0 City win.
Okay, the next game on the list is Aston Villa. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's at Villa Park and it's against Brentford. They played each other five times, two draws, two wins. Two wins for Villa and one win for Brentford. Villa had just been beaten by City, as we said a few minutes ago, and had a draw to Bournemouth. And Palace drew with Bournemouth. The form for Villa is lost last night, one drawn. Lost one. Brentford is drawn, lost, drawn. Brentford, again, like Palace, getting sucked into that sort of that niggly battle area, Trev. I like Thomas Franks as a manager. I rate Ivan Toney. What's that?
It's because he's a Dane.
Okay. I like him as a manager. Ivan Toney, you know, there was all the talk about when he come back, but he hasn't made a huge impact. He's played well for England, but do you think he's made the impact that people were expecting? And I suppose translate that across with Arsenal bias on him. Would you like to see him in the Arsenal squad next year? Talk about the game and that.
You know, it's an interesting game because I think Villa just, I don't know if they had all them injuries last night or whether they just thought, oh, we'll chuck the City game and hopefully pick points up elsewhere. But I thought Villa were really poor last night. And Villa won't be poor like that two games in a row. There are players back at home. As for the thing at Brentford, I think he's got an attitude, Tony. He just comes across, he's got a bit of an attitude. And I don't want to see him anywhere near our club at the moment. Watching him play, you know, you see the highlights and then you watch him play the last few weeks and you think, where does he improve our side, you know? And he doesn't, especially not now we've got Havertz playing really well for the middle up front, you know? So, no, I don't think we should go for Toney. Having said that, we probably will now. I think that Villa will be too strong for Brentford. I don't think Villa will have two bad performances in a row. And I've got Villa down to beat Brentford 2-0, Ferg.
2-0 to Villa. I went for a Desmond. I've gone 2-2. Dale, what's your thoughts on this game and what's your stat that you've got? Because you've got a few stats and all of them. What's your stat that stands out the most that you like on this one?
Oh, it's about Ivan Toney, actually, because he used to play for Peterborough. Now, I'm in the complete opposite camp to Trevor here. I think Ivan Toney does improve us. He's Kai Havertz, but better. Better finishing, better feet. And for those of you who watched the Brentford-Man United game last week, if you didn't see his assist, you need to. It was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. He had no right to get that cross into the box for that equaliser like he did. I've seen him play live multiple times. He's a fantastic player. Now, I'm not slagging Havertz off at any stretch. He is very similar to Havertz in his strength, and his size, and the way he moves. But he's better. He's got two better feet, a better head, and he's got a better brain for the game, I think. So I think he does improve our team, and I would love to see him at Arsenal, truth be told. I just think he gives us something more. That's not to say I don't want Havertz at Arsenal, and I don't want Havertz out of the team, because I don't. But I do think Toney improves our team. I mean, the stat I've got on this one, Ivan Toney, I thought, oh, where did he come from? Because I know he came from Posh, and I know he started like really late in his career. It was only 2018 he was playing from Scunthorpe after about his ninth loan spell, couldn't settle down anywhere after leaving Northampton. And since then, he scored 67 in 122 for Brentford. And I just think in a team like Brentford, if he's getting those numbers with the service he's got there, what would he do at a team like Arsenal when you've got the likes of Odegaard, Rice, Saka, Martinelli, et cetera, feeding him? I do think he improves us massively. I really do. Mm. So, again, just opinion, but I'm going to go for a draw in this game. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw.
He's no better than Eddie.
I agree.
Alex, you got Ollie Watkins and Ollie Watkins at Villa, and then you've got Ivan Toney. Ollie Watkins and the way Villa are set up with Ramsey and everything else, if they're both fit, I know they didn't play last night. surely they're probably the better side, do you think? I know I went for a draw, yeah. But...
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Villa are massive favourites, even without Ollie Watkins, who I don't think he'll be fit for tomorrow. But, I mean, I'd take Watkins over Tony. He's had 26 goal contributions this season in 30 games, 16 goals and 10 assists. So I think on current form, I'd probably take Watkins over Tony at the moment. And he's an Arsenal fan as well, so happy days. But yeah,
also
I think
double the price.
I don't think he would be.
I'd take a second rate forward like Haaland before Tony, to be honest.
Yeah,
okay, back to the game. I'll go with a 2-1 win for Aston Villa, even though they're missing Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, the home crowd are quite noisy, and they do create a great atmosphere there as well.
They're running for the top four as well.
Yeah, they're holding on to fourth place ahead of Spurs. And to be honest, I'd like to see them. And I'm with Demsek there. I can't see Villa selling Watkins, but I'd like to see them in Europe over or in the Champions League over Spurs. So
I think we all want that.
Yeah, for sure. Right, another possible snore fest is we're looking at is Everton versus Burnley, a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's a 6-pointer. It's 16th versus 19th. One draw in 17 minute meetings. Everton have had 9 wins versus Burnley 7. Burnley last took points at Goodison in December 2020, which was a draw. The form for Everton is pretty poor. They've drawn 1, lost, and drawn. Bit better for Burnley. They're seeing an upturn in form. I like what Vincent Kompany is trying to do there. They've drawn 1, drawn and lost. So they've got some points out of the last 5. Alex, I'll come to you first. Vincent Kompany is trying to get that team to play football. But I think that team probably just is not good enough for the Premier League to be able to play the football they want.
Yeah, completely agree. I think he's trying to play. I mean, it's a work in progress with the squad he's got. He's clearly not got the players for the way he wants to play football. But, I mean, looking at the last four games, I think he's done pretty well, getting 3 draws and a win. And he's starting to play a certain Danish guy a bit more, Jakob Brun Larsen. He scored in the last games. He's got a couple of goals in the last 4 games, so he's doing quite all right. And then the striker they brought on loan from Chelsea, Fofana, he's done quite well as well, scoring 4 goals since he joined them. So, I mean, they've got something going for them. And Everton, they're really struggling as well. I mean, they are favourites at home, Everton, but there's something saying in me that I think Burnley can get a result at Everton with the Danish guy getting a goal as well. So I'll go for a 2-1 away win for Burnley.
Okay, Trevor, Calvin Phillip, I don't know what's his name.
Calvin Lewin.
I nearly went Calvin Klein, don't worry. the water clearly isn't working. He's struggling to. I don't think he's scored in something like 29 games. Really, really struggling there. And
then he scored in the latest game.
Didn't he get a penalty last week?
Yeah, he scored a scrappy penalty in the last game.
Fine. I just remember watching. I think it was Match of the Day at the weekend, and they were making a comment on him, and also made a comment about the team itself has just lacked goals in general. Trev, where do you see this game going? I've gone 0-0, by the way, just out of.
Yeah, Ferg, I don't want to see either of these sides go down. Really, I enjoy a day out at Everton. You know, especially I want to get to have a look at their new stadium next season, if it comes open. And I don't. I mean, I think Burnley are gone, if I'm honest, but I don't want Burnley to go down because the beer's so cheap there when you go. You know what I mean? It's like I only take a tenner with me and I bring change home when I'm drunk. So yeah, I like both these sides, but Burnley are weak to me at the moment, and Everton have got the odd performance in them. So I've just gone for Everton to nick it 1-0, Ferg.
1-0, okay. Del?
I, on the other hand, do want Everton to go down, just because at the moment there's only 2 teams in the top flight football, never been relegated from the top flight. we're one of them, they're the other. So I do want them to go down for that very reason. Other than that, I've got nothing against them, so apologies to any Everton fans who may see this. But I agree they're both very, very poor sides this season. I can't see any of them scoring goals. I think there is a few goals in this game, but I don't think there's many. I think we shared as well, so I'm going to go for a 1-0.
Okay, you're going 1-0. Fine. Next game on the list is Fulham at home to Newcastle. Could be a cracker of a game. Fulham at home, as we are a testament to, and Spurs are, and other teams, they're quite decent at home. On the road, they're a little bit more fragile. Fulham at home, good form, winning the last two against Spurs and Brighton. They also beat Arsenal. Newcastle held to a draw against Everton, but came from 3-1 down to beat West Ham 4-3 last weekend. Fulham's record is lost, drawn, one, lost, one. And Newcastle has drawn, one, lost, one, lost. So, Trevor, quite similar sort of form. But that Fulham at home just seems to work, doesn't it, for them? I've gone 3-1 Fulham, by the way.
I used to have a right soft spot for the Geordies, and I still like Newcastle, and I still like the Geordies, but their fans have been a bit of a pain in the neck this year, haven't they? Constantly having to go at Arsenal for this and having to go at Arsenal for that. So I'm done with Newcastle fans. I'm done with them. But getting back to the game, I think Fulham are going all right, you know? And Newcastle away from home, I don't fancy them. Fulham at home, I do fancy him. So I'm going to go for a little 2-1 to for Fulham to beat the Barcodes at the weekend. And do you know what? Hensy's just put this up, Ferg, look. And I thought Everton had been relegated. They have, but not
from the top league, from what I understand. I don't think I might stand corrected, but look into that. I'm actually looking at it while we speak.
You might do, because Hensy will have his teeth into that now, mate, and he'll let you know. My mate Hensy,
I'm just checking now. if they are, it is a myth, and I was one of the ones who fell for that myth. And if they are, Hensy, thank you for correcting me, and I'll stop.
An Everton hater.
Since you've shown yourself up, then what's your view on this Fulham Newcastle game, then, Dale?
Again, I think Fulham at home are a fantastic outfit. You've got two different teams there: Fulham at home and Fulham away. They're two completely different teams. I don't know. It's a really tough one to call, but again, Newcastle have the ability. They've got some fantastic players in there: Guimaraes. Izak just can't stop scoring. So I can't see Newcastle not scoring. But at the same time, Fulham always score at home, and they seem to score quite a few. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw again on this one, I think. Go for a Desmond.
2-2. A Desmond. Paulinho is key to Fulham, don't you think, Alex? And if he's fit, he makes the midfield tick, and everything seems to work. And
he could definitely match the likes of Bruno in midfield, and I mean, there's a reason why Bayern Munich really, really wanted him, both in the summer and in the January transfer window. So he's a brilliant, brilliant player. And then up top, their Brazilian striker who's started to score quite a few goals this season, Rodrigo Muniz, he's doing really well as well. So I think I can see this being a cracking game between the two sides. I mean, they've both been up and down in form, as you said, but yeah, I think we can have quite a few goals in this. I'm going for a 2-2, a draw between the two.
Okay. Right. The next game is the...
Can I just jump in 1 second there? So that one there, Arsenal were relegated in 1913. Arsenal were not relegated in 1913. Woolwich Arsenal were relegated in 1913. The top flight was then formed in 1913. When Arsenal became Arsenal, and have never been relegated since. That one I know is correct. So I'll give you. Mate, call that 1-1.
All I will say is, don't go to Finland, because you're going to be in trouble if you get off there in Helsinki. Henty's going to be waiting for you.
Luton has just given away the softest goal against Liverpool.
Sheffield United, you mean?
Sheffield United just given away the softest goal against Liverpool. Goalkeeper's gone to clear it. Hit it straight at Darwin Núñez. He's bounced off him straight into the net. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, they were never going to get a result, were they, Sheffield?
Man, it's only 17 minutes gone, Alex. Only 17 minutes gone. Right, the next game that the next game that we've got coming up is Luton Town versus AFC Bournemouth. I've gone for an away win for Bournemouth. Bournemouth's first visit to Kenilworth Road. They won 4-3 in the reverse fixture. Luton looked doomed to go down with a form of loss, loss, drawn, loss, drawn. And Bournemouth, on the other hand, have the exact same form as the mighty Arsenal. They've won one, drawn and one. So four wins and a draw in their last five. As I said, I've gone for two goals to Luton and three goals to Bournemouth. What's your thoughts on this, Alex?
Yeah, I agree. There could be quite a lot of goals. I think the majority of the goals, though, will be scored by Bournemouth. I think they've surprised quite a few people, including me this season. And I mean, with the likes of Dominic Solanke, how well he's doing, scoring goals for fun. I think there'll be too much for Luton to handle. And I think they've won a lot of people's hearts this season with the way they play football. But yeah, it's just not sustainable with the squad they've got to play the way they are playing at the moment. And then when they've got the injuries they've got as well, I just don't see them getting a result against Bournemouth. I'll go with a 3-1 to Bournemouth.
Okay. Dale?
I'm going to go against the grain here. And I think what's going to keep Luton up this season is their home form. Away from home, they're not a great side at all. But at home, I think what Alex just mentioned there is they have won a lot of people's hearts over because they've taken us to the wire. They've taken quite a few other big teams to the wire, all at home. I think they are due a win. There's a comment now by William. I do think they are due a win. And I think this is probably the game they're going to do it in. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Luton win.
2-1 Luton win. You know what? I would have type of gone that route. Because I first of all thought Kenilworth Road is such an intimidating little ground and everything else. But there's not much in it. I think there's about 100 seats between what Luton's capacity and AFC Bournemouth's capacity is. Trevor, you've been to both grounds over the years. Which would you say is the more intimidating ground and where do you see this game going?
Oh, I don't think either of them are really intimidating. If you had to pick one, you'd say Luton because Bournemouth's a lovely place to go and watch football. I love a trip to Bournemouth. I think Luton, yeah, their home form hasn't been too bad, but if they watching them last night, I'm thinking, oh God, they're dire. And you know what? I feel really sorry for Barkley, you know. I think he's due a move to a bigger club with the greatest respect to Luton. He's back on the scene, been given a chance by Luton, and he was the only shiny light they had last night. So for me, Ross Barkley, if he plays well, he gives him a chance. If he don't play well, they've got no chance. Bournemouth, brilliant form of recent. I'm going to disagree with Dale and a few of the other comments. I'm going to go for a... They've been high-scoring games at Luton recent, haven't they? So I'm going to take it right to the other extreme. I'm going to go Bournemouth 1-0, Ferg.
Well, okay. Okay. All right, and the last game, because we've already covered the Brighton-Arsenal game. The last game that we're going to cover for Saturday is Wolverhampton Wanderers versus West Ham. I've gone a 3-1 win for Wolves. I think they're a proper outfit, and especially at home. I'm not looking forward to us going there later in the month. They've played each other 15 times. The honours are even. They've both had 7 wins. It's 10th versus 7. But West Ham have played an extra game and they hold a 3-point advantage. They're both a draw midweek. Wolves are drawn, lost, Wolves. Drawn, lost, won, lost, won. And then, I know, this is...
I'm
dyslexic, mate. For me to be reading all this is absolutely brilliant. See, I should get a medal. West Ham are drawn, lost, drawn, drawn, won. And I can't wait for the text from Mark on the history WhatsApp group because he crucifies me every week.
Are you coming to me?
Yeah.
Are you?
Because you started.
Two half-decent sides, really, aren't they? Wolves and West Ham. Both capable of pulling off good results. On their day, I think Wolves at home, they'll be a bit too strong for West Ham. But I think there's going to be some goals in it. I'm loving, I nearly said Kevin Nolan then, but that's your man, isn't it? I'm loving Jarrod Bowen at the moment. I love the way he's playing his football, you know. He's one of the best players in the league for me at the moment. I think he'll score one or two on Saturday for West Ham, but I think Wolves will get three. I'm going to go 3-2 to Wolves, Ferg. I think it'll be a scoring game.
Alex, will Kevin, the set-piece man, help Bowen from a corner? And his corners have been fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, they have, and they've worked against Tottenham as well. But I feel like it's a really difficult game to predict because both have been up and down this season. I mean, looking at the squad, or player for player, West Ham's got the much better squad and individual quality as well. But Wolves, they've just been doing well, especially at home. So I'll go for a draw, 1-1.
1-1. Dale, your one on this one?
It's an interesting one because although I agree Wolves are capable of beating most teams at home, truth be told, I watched Tottenham West Ham the other night, and if it wasn't for a little bit more luck on their side, I think West Ham probably should have got more out of that game. Not could have done, should have got more out of that game. But I do think Wolves might have a bit much from. So I'm going to go on as even. I think it'll be a draw. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2, Desmond. Okay, so we're on to Sunday. Sunday's fixtures are Man United versus Liverpool, Sheffield United versus Chelsea, and Tottenham versus Forest. The Man United and the Forest games are both on TV, with the Sheffield United-Chelsea game, thankfully, not on TV. Let's look at the 3:30 kickoff. Again, funny why all the times have changed rather than 2:30 and 5. It's just TV have just taken the absolute piss out of people. I'm sorry. It's absolutely ridiculous. Manchester United and Liverpool, a blockbuster game. Hopefully they kick seven bells out of each other and Salah gets injured and I don't know. Just, yeah, it's won a big game for Liverpool that if they have views on winning the title. They've met 63 times in the Premier League. They played 63 times. Man United won 10 more times, 29 times versus 19. The last met, and it was a draw, 0-0 in December. And over the last five meetings in this fixture, the aggregate score is 2-17 to Liverpool. Man United, ouch. We all know the mess. Yeah, I know. We know the mess that they're in. It's drawn, won, lost, lost, won. And Liverpool, same form as us, one drawn, 1-1-1. Trevor, I'll go to you, Alex, first. I'm going for a 3-3 draw on this. I think that's a bit more heart than head.
Yeah, I think I want to go with my heart as well on this one. I mean, United on their day, they can get a result at home. And hopefully, fingers crossed, they do so on Sunday. It's one of them games where we really need Liverpool to drop points. I mean, it's going to go down to the wire this season, and we need them to drop points sooner rather than later. But yeah, I think Man United can get a draw at home as well. I'm not quite as optimistic with the goal scorings, but I'll go with a 2-2.
2-2. Dale?
I think Liverpool are going to have revenge on their mind because I think they're going to sit there and remember the late winner United got against them in the cup just a few weeks ago. I think it was at 4-3 they beat him or something, like 119th minute or something daft like that. And I think with Liverpool pushing for the league, the last team they're going to want to knock them out of that title race is Man United. Although I'd love to say a United win or United will take points of them, I just can't see it. And I'm going to go for a 3-1 Liverpool win.
3-1. Trevor, we talked briefly, I think, it was Memo I was talking to. What's the Norwegian striker?
He's Danish, and his name is Danish. Rasmus Højlund.
Højlund, probably a better all-round footballer than Haaland. And with the right players around him, I think he could be as prolific as maybe Haaland. What's your thoughts
on what? As prolific as Haaland?
He's only a League 2 striker.
He'll be better than Haaland. Everyone's better than Haaland. Listen, this is such an interesting game on Sunday because I said it before on this podcast that Man United remind me of us of 4 or 5 seasons ago, where got some quality, but just players don't look interested, not turning up. But what we always did was at the Arsenal, we always turned up for the derby against Tottenham. We never, for some reason, it lifted them. And this Man United Liverpool game is a massive game. It's the biggest game of the season for those two clubs, you know. And Man United are at home. They're going to turn up. They're going to really push and push Man United. And I think they've got every chance of turning Liverpool over. I honestly do. I think it'll be tight, but I honestly think that on the day at Old Trafford, if the crowd decides to lift, because the crowd's been, I mean, we had Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, didn't we? O'Hara and Cundy calling us about our atmosphere last night. Well, they've obviously not looked at Man United recently because it's been awful. The atmosphere has been awful. But if the crowd gets up, lifts the team against Liverpool, I think Man United can nick it. I'm going to go 5-0 Man United.
We did say in the comments that it does have an Arsenal bias, and it's probably only going to get a little bit worse as we go down to the last game.
Not Trevor, though.
The penultimate game is Sheffield United versus Chelsea's 5:30 kickoff. Sheffield have beaten Chelsea only 4 times in their 11 meetings. Chelsea have done 6. There's been 1 draw. The last time Sheffield won was 3-0 in July 2020, and that was at Bramall Lane. This one is at Bramall Lane. They're having a tough old game, as we can see on the screen that Trevor's looking at. Their current form is drawn, drawn, lost, 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 but it could be lost, drawn, drawn, lost, lost, lost. Chelsea, up and down, total chaos. Poch is, I don't know, steering a sinking ship in my view. Drawn one, drawn, drawn one. Let's go to you, Del. What's your view on this game? I've gone for a 3-0 Chelsea win, by the way.
Although regardless of how bad Chelsea are, I do think Sheffield United are considerably worse. We've all said it time and time again, they're probably one of the worst teams we've seen at our place in a long time. And I don't think they're much better at home. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Chelsea win.
3-0 Chelsea win. Oh, that's the wrong one. 3-0. Trevor?
Yeah, I find this game interesting. I do, because if Sheffield United are going to beat a London side this year, it'll be Chelsea. Because Chelsea, I hadn't bothered looking at the league table. They're that far below us. But Chelsea are that poor. I mean, they're 28 points behind us this season. 28 points. That's massive, you know. And they're nearer the bottom of the league than the top of the league. And I'm just hoping Sheffield United turn up, because I love watching Chelsea lose. I love watching Chelsea lose. But I don't think Chelsea will lose. I'm thinking Sheffield United are going to get a draw. I reckon it's going to be 2-2.
2-2. Alex?
Yeah, I think Chelsea will win, unfortunately. They found a bit of form towards the end of the season here, and I don't think they've lost in the last 8 or 9 Premier League games. And the likes of Mudryk is starting to find his form a bit. So I think they'll be too much to handle for Sheffield. So I'll say 2-0 to Chelsea and a Mudryk goal.
Okay. And the final game is the Sky game. It's Tottenham Hotspur versus Nottingham Forest.
Honours even that accent.
you know that that silly little meme that goes around where you got the guy in doing the sports news from. He's always laughing.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
I've seen a nice meme going around today. There's a picture of a geezer in a toilet. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah, I've seen that one. Honours are even. They've had 13 in the 13 meetings. They've had 6 wins each and 1 draw. Tottenham's form currently is drawn, 1, lost, 1-1. And then Forest is 1, drawn, drawn, lost, lost. Trevor, let's get the realistic prediction out of the way.
Yeah, I've been a bit naughty recently. You know, I've been giving Tottenham to lose by double figures each week, and so I'm going to look at it a bit more sensibly. Demsek, you're going to get booted off this show, mate. You are. You're going to be banned from ever watching this show again, mate. But yeah, so Forest, Tottenham are not a very good side, are they, when they're put under pressure? So Forest come out and come at them. I can see them getting something out of the game, maybe. So, but I'm going to be more sensible this week. I'm going to go 7-0 to Forest.
7-0 to Forest. Okay. Alex, follow that up.
Shocking prediction from Trev. But I think actually Forest can nick a point of Tottenham. They're really good on the break, and we know how high a line they play with Tottenham. So I think the likes of Elanga and Hudson-Odoi and Morgan Gibbs-White, and then in form Chris Wood as well, I think they can cause a bit of trouble for Tottenham. So hopefully they'll draw 2-2.
I think a draw could be, you know what, it's probably going to be a result that we don't want to see. It's going to be a 2-1, and I'll say no more than that.
Don't say it, folk.
Yeah, I know. Dale?
I'm just looking forward to the day when one of Fergus' predictions actually come right, because occasionally you do see one of these. I mean, when one of Trev's predictions, sorry, these 7-0s, occasionally you do see these freak results. So they're the ones I'm looking forward to. But I'm begrudgingly going to agree with Fergie. I'm not going to say the score because he's already said it, but that's what I think it'll be too.
Disappointing. Yeah.
Okay. 278 people watching across various platforms, mostly on Twitter. We would love if you went across to our YouTube channel at Guns and Ribbons at Guns and Yellow Ribbons on all of the social media. We're Guns and Ribbons on there. We're over 1,200 subscribers. As you can see, we do this for a bit of fun. We're not your clickbait sort of stuff. We just enjoy talking football and having a very Arsenal chat. Trevor, well, I can see you chomping at the bit.
Can I just say my boobs are in the bio?
Boobs in bio.
Listen, mate. listen, right, I know you're going to press the button in a minute, right, but I've seen quite a bit on social media today, mate. I don't know if you boys have seen it, about the Angel, because North London Forever, the name of the song is the Angel, and I thought we could take this opportunity to, every Arsenal fan knows about it, but there's people that don't and they're not quite sure what goes on. So the Angel, North London Forever, as we all know, it's sung by Louis Dunford, who's a lad from Islington, born and bred in Islington. His mum is a famous actress, and she was born and bred in the area. And his songs, not just The Angel, North London Forever, but a lot of the work he does is all relating to North London, Islington in particular, you know. And that is why us Arsenal fans have caught on to it. We've not been pressured, have we, boys, to sing that song and to listen to it. It's just, we can all relate to it. I can relate to growing up in North London, doing all the things that Louis sings about. There's another song he does called Summer in the Manor. And if you want to get the idea of what Louis sings about, listen to Summer in the Manor, and then you'll see why we all love the Angel, North London Forever. But it don't matter where you're born or bred in the world, does it? You can sort of relate to what he says in his songs, you know? So please, anybody watching that's not sure, it wasn't forced on us Arsenal fans. No one's making us sing it. It's not marketing by the Arsenal. It's love from the Arsenal fans, Ferg.
Can I add to that as well? Before we went live on air tonight, the four of us were sat there singing North London Forever with our scarves up, which is why we had these and we came live on air. So, and that wasn't forced. No one asked us to do that. It was what we did. We weren't even talking. We were just singing to each other.
I even had that up at one point.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was a gift from John Malone. Listen, there's another song that he does as Hooligans, which is a great song. And the little whistle at the beginning of it is what my young lad used to do when all his mates would be calling each other. They do that whistle outside. And as soon as I heard that song, it blasted me back to when I was younger and there were young kids and they were probably getting up to all sorts. But, you know, that's what young lads do. On that note, we're going to press the button. Thank you, Irish Mick. Irish Mick knows the drill. That once that starts, we're nearly done. Trevor, any final words?
No, just we're all off down to Brighton, aren't we? We're all off down to Brighton at the weekend. So
can't wait.
Let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy the day. I've got a little thing in the back of me that worries me about Brighton, but I'm sure we're good enough to come away with a result. Looking forward to it greatly, Ferg.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of the game we're going to remember. You know that we're starting on a train at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you'll have to do a lot of testing before you start your 2 pints.
I probably won't start my 2 pints until the train on the way home.
Right, you have been watching a Guns and Yellow Ribbons podcast. This is the Game Week 31 preview. We've done the Arsenal games. We've looked at everything else. If you like what we do on a Monday, we look purely back at the Brighton game, and we'll look ahead to Bayern Munich as well, which is on Tuesday this week. We'll see lots of you down in the Amex Stadium. I need to go up the Arsenal. Fuck the Spurs.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.